Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
Because Jesus is Lord, we are building the future on the foundation of our past. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. And Jesus spoke forth words, the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God separated light from darkness, water from earth. He created lands and plants, stars and sun, fish and birds, animals. And then he created people. God created, God spoke forth in love and created. And he created people, humanity, for a different reason, a different purpose. There in the garden, sweet and wonderful communion Adam and Eve had with God. They were given dominion, stewardship over all that God had created. Take care of this land. Take care of all of this. My dearly loved children, God said to Adam and Eve. It was beautiful. There was a temptation. There was a temptation, and they took it. And as soon as they took it, they were afraid and ashamed, and something was different. Something was broken. And God confronted them and said, "What happened? What did you do?" The beauty of our communion with each other feels different. And the confession came. We went beyond that boundary that you asked us not to go beyond. And so God said there has to be consequences to this. And he sent them out from that beautiful garden and that beautiful communion, able to speak and see and walk and smell the aroma of God. They were moved away from all that beauty. But even in that moment, God said, "A heel will come down and break that snake. Break what is dark and evil." So from the very beginning, God had this plan for redemption. Continuing to reach out with great love and hope for all humanity. This is the beautiful redemptive story of Scripture. Not a story like a little book, but the actual account of a God who created us to be in relationship, to understand the fullness of God's love, and because of that, to walk differently. There was a man who pushed away God off to the side, pushed away the fullness of God, was clinging to maybe an image of God that he had, but was pushing away that full image of who God was. And so walking on a road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul was overwhelmed with light, blinded by the beauty of God's presence there. And God spoke to him, "Why do you persecute me? Do you not know the fullness of who I am?" And in his great fear and blindness, and stumbling with the help of others on the way to Damascus, everything was confirmed as he was healed, and he recognized the gift of God through Jesus Christ, his Savior. And the Spirit of God filled him. And Paul spoke forth. He spoke forth many words. And we turn to some of those words this day. Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 4. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's words in this moment were about building the church in Rome. He was speaking to the people who began dividing against each other, those who had and those who did not have. And he wanted to challenge them to come together in powerful ways. He pointed back to the very beginning. That which was written before, he's pointing back to the Old Testament, to Moses and to the prophets, that they might know and remember that redemptive story of humanity is for all people. That they might know and remember that this is not a rules thing, this is not a control thing, this is a message of love. A message of love from God. That's what God spoke forth. That's what Jesus spoke forth. Love. Out of complete chaos, speaking forth, God created the heavens and the earth. And through that has displayed a redemptive story of humanity. How many times have we talked about all those times that Israel pushed God away? And what did God do when Israel pushed God away? There are consequences, but what did God do? Never stopped. Never stopped. Never stopped. Never stopped reaching out. Never stopped loving. Never stopped forgiving. Never stopped pouring mercy. Never stopped pouring hope. Never stopped pouring love. It's amazing. It's amazing. You should be smiling right now. You're smiling, Michael. Where are you, Michael? Michael sent me a thank you. Michael sent me, what do you call it on the thing? A meme? I don't know what a meme is. A text. You sent me a text. And the text said, we should be more excited about coming to worship than going to the Super Bowl or watching the Super Bowl. Right? You should be smiling when you hear this redemptive story. You know the second part of the, what'd you call it, a meme? You know what the second part of it was? If you're that excited to come to church, you know what you should do? Every time the pastor makes a good point, you should pour Gatorade over your head. I thought it was a good point. Thank you, Michael. Next week, we're going to have buckets of Gatorade and bread for all of you. That is preaching, by the way. I don't know. Are you preaching or am I? I'm preaching. Okay, there we go. Building the church in Rome. Building the church in Rome was about Paul's message to them about coming together and being one voice so that God would be glorified. Building the church in Rome. And so we turn to building the church in Paoli. And I have a few things to read to you about our history here at building our foundation here. From some of the books, this is from 1999. 100 years ago, a small town named for a tavern, 23 people lit a candle in the first communion service in the Little Mission Sabbath School that was to become First Presbyterian Church in Paoli. The town was only 18 years old then, having been developed in 1881 on 329 acres owned by the grandson of the original tavern owner. The major thoroughfare, the Conestoga Road, that is now Route 30 or Lancaster Pike, was a toll road. A toll road back then. But they had an easy pass. And the Columbia Railroad was barely 50 years old. Like the stagecoaches that had stopped at the tavern since 1769, steam engines now stopped in the town. They refueled with water, pumped from the from a stream that still flows from just off Spring Road, a few hundred yards from our church. Schofield's General Store, where you could buy anything and where the Sabbath School originally met, is near the intersection of Lancaster Pike and 252. Mary Eaches. I said that right. Do you remember her?
Yes.
It's 1999. I was confused when the record says she was baptized in 1903. So she was telling stories in 1909. That's just amazing. I can't believe it. How many got to know Mary? Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Mary Eaches, currently longest standing member. It says this is in 99. Used to walk to church with her mother from her home further west. When electricity arrived in 1891, one of the two arcs installed was at a livery stable owned by Mary's father at the corner of Lancaster Pike and Paoli Pike, near what is now the Wawa. And in this little town, some faithful people lit a candle and built a church. In this little town, some faithful people lit one little candle and built a church. I think that's beautiful. Beautiful. But things have been different over the 100-some years. Some of the reflections of a couple of the members. 50 or more years ago, you could roller skate down the middle of the road all the way to Berwyn. Much of the entire valley was working farms, some of them large farms, and you could hunt and fish in places where there are now housing developments. Nobody liked to lock their doors, and there weren't many cars. It was a very safe place. Another reflects, you knew everyone in church. The minister took note of anyone who was absent and called them that week. Boys and girls went to separate Sunday schools. There weren't that many young people. At one time, there were only two high school students in Sunday school. In the 1930s, there were only two ushers, and the collection took 2 minutes. Now, I'm confused by that one, because how long does our... Around 2 minutes or so, right? So I'm wondering if they were a small church, if they were ones, have you heard of the churches that had the big pole with the bag on the end and they nudge people who didn't give? So maybe maybe that's why it took them 2 minutes then. Okay, now hear this and follow exactly what it says. Ready? No one ever smiled in church. Don't smile. No one ever smiled in church, and no one ever applauded. Church was very serious and formal, and not especially friendly. Ladies wore gloves. Is that why it wasn't friendly? Ladies wore gloves and hats, and men wore suits. How many women have gloves on today? Oh, very good. We have a couple. Is it because it's cold? Children were not visible. They were supposed to stay quiet and not move. Ministers back then were supposed to be old. I'm doing that. Not young. Women could never be elders. At one point, the choir had only 10 members. But listen to this from 1949. Before us lies in the providence of God an ever-widening sphere of influence. As we go into the next 50 years, therefore, let it be with a sincere resolve to know that and to serve Jesus Christ with heart and soul and mind, that this church may be a lighthouse for Jesus, pointing men and women and young people to Jesus' salvation and Jesus' way of life. 1949. Building the foundation, building our future on the foundation of our past. Building the future on the foundation of our past. Sometimes things change, and sometimes things shouldn't change. What doesn't change is glorifying God. is celebrating that gift of Jesus' salvation and sharing that with others as that charge in 1949. That shouldn't change, should it? Maybe not smiling at church. We can change that. We applaud every now and then in church, don't we? Kids can be seen and heard, right? So some things change as we move forward, but those core values don't change. Paul spoke about building the church in Rome. Those same values continue as we think about building the church here at Paoli. Same values come together in one voice, one joyful voice, that we might be a light to this community and throughout into the world. Building the future is a strategy that does not mean that we do not continue feeding those that are here today. 1949, they had a beautiful vision of continuing to reach out. Our core value study, our passion of leadership, is to continue to honor that, to continue to feed those who are here today while having strategy and plans about how we might do that in the future. Building the Roman church was about love. Was that about speaking forth that redemptive story of God? Building the Paoli church is about love, about speaking forth that redemptive story of love. Scripture tells us in 1 John 4:16 that God is love. God is love, but Rudolf Bultmann reminds us this sentence cannot be reversed to love is God. Because anything that we might want to define ourselves as love, then we could say that's of God. But that's not always true. But God is love is true. God is love. The fullness of God's character, His righteousness, His justice, His mercy, His grace, His truth, His conviction, His power, it's all love. It all comes from the essence of love. That's who we are. So building our future on the foundation of that past is a future of living out that story of love, that redemptive story in our lives, and sharing that with others. We need to be people who love the circle here and a wider circle beyond. So as Tom knew that I was going to be preaching about this today, he came up to me and he brought me one of these. Which, you know, I'm always cold, so I don't want to wiggle this too much. But does anybody remember these?
Yes.
In churches? I'd never seen one before until I got to the Southern church I was at. And on the back was Bob's funeral. They all seem to be sponsored by a funeral home where we went. I don't know what that was about. Thank goodness this one's not. It's just a church thing, which is good. It's not an advertisement. So found in Churchill's office was almost brought to tears thinking of Jim and that gift that he brought to our children. What is it we say? Your God
loves you.
And on the back of this, instead of a funeral, it says, "Welcome. God loves you, and we do too." It was found in Church's office this week. Building our future on the foundation of our past. It's about reaching out in love, in wider circles, and recognizing that charge upon each one of us. You can do it with a deep relationship with somebody in your family. You can do it in a very quick contact with someone. When I wore that Presbyterian name tag going into McDonald's, when it was okay for me to go into McDonald's and get some French fries and a pop, I shouldn't do that anymore. But the girl behind the counter said, "What's the name tag about? What's a Presbyterian?" And in that 20 seconds that I had with her, I was able to pray with her and tell her that I'd be continue to pray for her because she just brought up an issue in her life. Sometimes it can be that quick, from a deep relationship with a family member or a friend to somebody that you meet for 20 seconds, that you can bless them and let them know that they are loved by God. You know, there are many times in our world where we can really look and say, it's a difficult time. Vietnam was when I was growing up. World War II was when some of you were growing up. You can continue to look back in history and say, that was a rough time. Now, it's not like there haven't been other rough times, but this is a rough time right now. And I don't just mean politically here in our country that a lot of people are talking about. And for some of you, I challenge you, just get off Facebook. Because all the nasty things I hear from people talking about, I'm not on Facebook. So if your blood pressure is going up because of Facebook, just, you know, my book can help you meme it. I think that means delete. Just take a break. It's an interesting time in our country right now, but it's an interesting time in the world. And Paul writes, and Jesus says very clearly, when we come together in one united voice, Christ-filled voice, the world will see light and hope and truth that only God can offer. So think about that. Who is God calling you to share love with? As we see this short image of a beautiful song from the 60s. Jesus has prepared for each one of us.